Good evening. On behalf of Sovereign Grace Bible Church and First Love Missions, I'd like to welcome each and every one of us to this edition of the 2019 Lagos Bible Conference. The conference has been on since 2002, and I believe that many here have attended each and every one of them. So you're welcome. You're welcome. It's a Bible conference, and it's expected that we open the Bible and read the Bible and try to get some lessons from the Bible. So it's not some where we come and tell you tales or tell stories or discuss things that people discuss. We've come here to be exercised spiritually. And so this evening, to open the conference, I'd like to say a few words on the theme of the conference. And if you have the program, I hope you have the program, you'll see that the theme is based on Galatians 1, 6 to 9. And so the first part of my presentation will be to look at the lessons that we can get from Galatians 1, 6 to 9. And then the second part will be for me to show you some of the slogans which the church in Nigeria use in their programs, and for us to judge, to know whether we are still preaching the true gospel. So the first part is just to, for us to understand the theme of the conference, and it's to look at Galatians chapter 1, 6 to 9. So it's a Bible conference. Try and open the Bible as the verses are called out and follow along as the words are read, so that you would not say that it's the preacher that says something, but it is the Bible that is being explained. So I use the King James, so I'll read from the King James Version. The one that we have on the program, I think it is from the ESV, which is okay. But I use the King James, so I'll read from the King James. So whichever version that you have, follow me as I read the verses and consider with you some of the things said in the verses. So Galatians 1, 6. Apostle Paul writes, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and then unto another gospel. So the first part says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you. So that we are being called into the grace of Christ. So there's a call. And we are told that as the gospel is preached, it's a call. People are being called into the kingdom. So we have two calls. There's one that is a general call, and there is the other one that is the effectual call. But here, people have said that perhaps it is the hymn there here is the apostle calling. The general call is usually from messengers, from pastors, from preachers. And it is under the grace, the common grace of God. So preachers are sent. God sends preachers in the common grace of God. And when they preach the gospel, they are calling people into the kingdom. So, but some have also said that this calling is actually effectual call. But whoever calls, we see that we are being called into the grace of Christ. So the apostle says that the Galatian church, and it's the Galatians, a region in the first century AD, where you have so many churches, and the apostle is saying that he's marveling, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. So looking at it a little bit more, we see that because it is something of grace, it is that the Holy Spirit is sending a word to the churches to recover them. When there is some problem in the kingdom, God sends his word to recover people. And so for this to be written to the church of the Galatians, or the churches of Galatia, it means that the Holy Spirit was sending his word through the apostle to recover them. And by extension, God is sending his word to us this evening, to you who are pastors and to you who belong to different churches. The word is being sent so that you will be recovered. And it's a word that will last till the end of this age, to the end of the times. And the reason is this, that apostasy has been predicted. Apostasy has been predicted. That means that falling away from the true gospel is a prediction of the Bible. And because it's a prediction of the Bible, there will be a falling away. It is certain that it will fall away. So that this word sent is so for us to say, you better listen carefully and make sure that you are not falling away. Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, tells us about this, the certainty of this falling away. In 1 Timothy 3, First Timothy 3, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Listening to the words, it says the Spirit is speaking expressly, so openly, that in the latter times, and we are in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And they will be giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So falling away or apostasy is predicted. So it will happen. It will happen in your church. It will happen in my church. It will happen in the church. And so this word is sent for us to be watchful, to check, and to be recovered. So he is writing this and saying, I marvel, but the marvel, or I marvel, is actually to woo them back. It's a love expression. I marvel to woo you back. So that's the sense. It's an appeal. And it's almost like the last appeal to the Galatian churches and to all churches even today. And he's trying to tell us that, look, you will commit certain suicide in the faith if you continue the way you are going. And this is a clear alarm bell for each and every one of us. The way you are going, you will commit suicide in the faith. It's for you to check whether you are truly following the true gospel. When we are saved, and I'm sure most of us know this, we come into the church, or we gather into the church. It is expected that each and every one who is in the church should be exercising himself or herself in the priestly and kingly offices that God has given to each believer. And I'm sure you know this. Every believer is a king and a priest. The Lord Jesus Christ has made every believer a king and a priest. I hope you know this. The Lord Jesus Christ made us kings and priests to God his Father. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. We are a holy nation, a peculiar people, and we are the people of God. Everyone. I am in the royal priesthood. You too, you are in the royal priesthood. So we should be exercising ourselves in the things that are in the grace of God that has appeared to all men. Grace comes to us abundant in love and faith. And so we are to be continuously exercised in the work of faith, in the labor of love, and we should be growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should all be in the liberty of the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus, in the true righteousness that is in Christ Jesus, in the peace of conscience that is in Christ Jesus, and in the hope of everlasting life that is in Christ Jesus. So it's all in Christ Jesus. Everything is in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness of sins is in him. The righteousness of God is in him. The hope of glory is in him. And we should be exercising ourselves in this liberty that we have when we are born again. So the Galatian churches, instead of being occupied with the things inside the grace of Christ to which they were called, Galatians 1 verse 6 tells us that they were giving attention to another gospel. They were like Eve in the garden. Eve gave attention to another gospel. Details of this another gospel were not given. But if you look at verse 7, this is a Bible conference, so look at the Bible. If you look at verse 7, Galatians 1:7, it says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So it's a corrupted gospel that they were giving attention to. A gospel that, to all intents and purposes, was the gospel of Christ, but was, in essence, twisted, distorted. So if you recall what happened to Eve and the serpent in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, we are told that Eve was beguiled by the serpent. So the expression another gospel can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it's a Bible conference, so we compare scripture with scripture. Just to look for another passage where another gospel is mentioned. So if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I read verse 3 and 4. Says, but I fear, 2 Corinthians 11, 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So you see here in verse 4 that there is another gospel. So maybe we'll find some certain things said about this another gospel from this verse. But note what is written in verse 3. Verse 3 tells us that the gospel is simple, the simplicity in the gospel of Christ. And this is what Satan wants to corrupt. The gospel of Christ is so simple, but Satan wants to complicate it, to bring in things, to complicate it. And that's what he works each time to do. And if you think about how Satan beguiled Eve in the Garden of Eden, the gospel to Eve, if you remember, to Eve and Adam, Adam and Eve, the gospel to them was so simple as believe in God, believe in God, believe the word of God. God has given his word to them. Say, you have dominion and so on, but don't do this. Just believe the word and live your life normally. Simple as believe the word of God. But Satan came and beguiled Eve. And you know what Satan did? And saying to Adam and Eve, or Eve, that God should not be believed. And the Bible is not sufficient. The word of God is not sufficient. The Bible is not sufficient for faith and life. You should believe in yourself. You are a God. You are somebody. And you can't be a God. I say somebody so that some of you will know where I'm going to. You are somebody. And then they fell. Another gospel. And in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 11:4, we are told about another gospel. So in the King James, you find another. So if you put the anothers together in verse 4, this is a Bible conference, so please bear with me. If you put all the anothers in verse 4, then you begin to see what this another gospel is. He said, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So another gospel is here with us. Another gospel has another spirit, has another Jesus. So another gospel is a gospel that is different from the gospel preached by the apostles. So one can say in conclusion that the apostolicity of what you hear is the mark of the true gospel of Christ. So in this conference this year, we are to be reminded of the true gospel of Christ. But notice what is said about how this gospel, another gospel, comes. For if he that cometh preacheth another gospel, another Jesus, so people come and are preaching about another Jesus. Note that anyone who does not preach what the apostles preached, the spirit that is following that which that person is preaching is a wrong spirit. That's how serious this thing is, or how it is. Once you don't preach what the apostles preach, you are passing on another spirit to the people who are hearing you. And they will receive that other spirit. Because that's what he says there. For if ye that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Jesus, another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, then you bear with him. In verse 7, verse 7, Galatians chapter 1 again, in verse 7, the apostle used very strong phrases. Very strong phrases. Which is not another. Telling us that the gospel resembles the true gospel. The subtlety of Satan. It resembles the true gospel, which is not another. And there be some that trouble you. That tells you again the certainty of the existence of false teachers in our midst. There is the the certainty of the existence of false teachers in our midst. They are here, they are there, they are in your church, they are in the radios, they are in the, you know, in all the media, they are there. And all they are doing is to pervert the gospel of Christ. They want to twist it. They can remove one word or add one word. But then we have how to know them being suggested to us in verse 7. How to know them is suggested. They add things to the true gospel of Christ. The history has it that in the churches of Galatia, in the first century AD, false apostles and false teachers penetrated the church. They entered the church as was predicted. And they were teaching the people. And it was said that they were very eloquent, very eloquent. They dressed so well. They were presentable. They were wonderful public speakers, people to be heard. But they had another spirit, and they came and they taught the people that the pure, simple gospel of Scripture alone, grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone, for the glory of God alone, was not sufficient for life and godliness. So they brought in the culture of circumcision. They brought in another worship method. They said the laws of the Jewish religion should continue with all the observances. All these should be added to the free gospel of Christ. And to us today, I'm sure you know, people say Scripture is not sufficient. Anything that the man of God hears from the throne room in his room should be added to the Scripture. I don't know what I have been to many conferences and you stay there and the man, when you talk about the Bible, they say, no. I heard from the throne room in my room. What did you hear from the throne room in your room? Then he will tell you that you have to say 20 hallelujahs before you start a prayer. The way to end a worship service is to say 70 hallelujahs. In your local assemblies, that's what they do. You don't leave until somebody says 20 amens. Where did you get it from? From the throne room. In their room. So Scripture, not sufficient. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, not sufficient. It's faith plus sacraments. It's righteousness of God plus other things. And then it's not for the glory of God, but the glory of the man of God. You know what we have. So Galatians chapter 1 from verse 6. And verse 8 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach an any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Why did he include himself in this curse? He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So why did he swear? Why did he swear with a curse? So if you consider the reasons, you probably get some lessons for me and you for today. He probably wanted to see to it that he was so sure of the purity of the gospel that they preached, the simplicity of the gospel that they preached. He was so sure of that. And so he would say, let me be accursed if I ever, or whoever. And he knows too that the gospel came from heaven. And so he was so sure of it. And so that the lesson for me and for you is, the gospel that we preach, can we truly say, like he said here, may God kill me if I don't preach the right gospel to you? Can you swear to it? That's a lesson for all those who preach the gospel. Do you add to the gospel? Or do you subtract from the gospel? So he knew he couldn't add, he couldn't take away. And so he could say, let him be accursed if he preached another gospel. And he included all those who were witnesses to the resurrection, all the apostles, he included them. And it's a marvel, actually, that he could do this. So can you, a pastor, evangelist, teacher, a minister, Sunday school teacher, can you say that the gospel you preach is the true gospel of Christ? There's a need for us to be sure that we do not add to the gospel or subtract from it. It was mentioned even during the pastor's seminar. So, and the sentence of a curse that we read here should make us fear. Should make us fear. And indeed, that if you preach another gospel, there is a curse following you. That's the thing. If you preach another gospel, there is a curse following you. That's what he's saying here. And it should make you fear. If you add to the Bible, there's a curse following you. And if you subtract from the Bible, there's a curse following you. I think we should note this in this conference that we have come. It's been mentioned many times, even during the pastor's conference, and we should take note of it. If you preach another gospel, there's a curse following you. And all of us who follow them, the curse will also affect us. Amen? Amen? The second reason that we can get from here is that when he included the angel from heaven to be cursed, if the gospel of Christ is received by them and preached by them, is corrupted. And it is this, that the gospel of Christ is not from him. It's not from him. They were apostles, but the gospel of Christ was not from him. The gospel of Christ is from God. And because God is holy, the gospel is holy, it is his word. And as we have shared many times, it is his word. He has magnified his word above his name. Psalm 138, verse 2. The gospel of Christ is God's final word to man. He has placed it even higher than his name. His name means his revealed deeds in history. Placed it above his name. Now, when you read verse 10 and 11 of that Galatians chapter 1, you see that the apostle said the same thing. For do I now persuade men, he said in verse 10, or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, and so on and so forth. That the gospel came from heaven, came from Christ Jesus directly to him. And a quick lesson for this, for me and you, is also a question. So how do you regard the gospel of Christ that you preach? How do you regard the Bible? How do you regard the Bible? It's a question for me and you. Do you regard the Bible or the Word of God as the apostles regarded the Bible and the Word of God? That they could die because of the Word of God? Do you regard the Word of God that way? Or do you twist the Word of God? In verse 9, as I end, the apostle faces those who are not apostles. In verse 9 he says, as we said before, so I say, so say I now again, if any man, so he left the apostles, and I say, any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So generally, or for everyone who preaches the gospel, and for those who hear the gospel, if you continue to hear a wrong gospel, you are accursed. That's what he's saying. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Yes, let him be accursed, but you will follow the curse. So if you continue to hear him, you are also going to perdition, you are going to condemnation. So those who preach and those who receive what is preached are all connected in verse 9. The sentence, judgment of anathema is to be on the one who brings the wrong gospel, and is to be on one who adds to the word of God, and is to be on one who subtracts from the gospel of Christ. And those who receive the corrupted gospel, they are involved in the curse. For the corrupted gospel will not save and will lead you to perdition, to anathema as well. So the apostolicity of what is preached is a mark of the true gospel of Christ. So question, do you preach the gospel of Christ? Do you preach the gospel of Christ? And do you know the gospel of Christ? In the hours ahead in this conference, and thank God for the men of God that we have brought, speakers that we have brought, you will hear messages that will indeed bring out the simplicity in the gospel of Christ. And so please make sure you don't leave this conference without actually knowing what this true gospel is. Because you can't check your teacher or your pastor unless you know the true gospel. And so we are going to bring messages in this Lagos Bible Conference. And may you be determined, may you make up your mind and be determined to know what the gospel of Christ is. And join us as we pray that we may be instruments in God's hand to preach the gospel of Christ. So this is the end of my first, just introducing you to the theme of the conference. The next is just to show you some slogans of... So the second part of my presentation is to review with you some slogans used by churches in Lagos and some parts of Nigeria. The meaning of slogan. Slogan means a catchy title used in advertising. So slogans are what the banners carry that catch the eye of the public, inviting them to attend a program. So let's see the first... So, you see, the man Tetzel there of the Dark Ages, before the Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church said that the merits of Christ Jesus was so plentiful that only the church has a reservoir of the merits of Christ. And that Mary, too, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, Mary, too, because of her good life, she also had some merits. And then all the saints also have some merits. So they have a reservoir of the merits of Christ Jesus, and only the church has the ability to dispense these merits. So if the church gives the merits out to you, you will be forgiven your sins. And so this man was it was a monk that was used. So he would say, if you put some money in the tiller, as soon as the tiller rings, boom, then from purgatory sins are forgiven for whoever you put the money for. That's it. Okay, so our church programs of this age is getting to the Tetzel of Dark Ages. Indeed, my brother, my sister, there is a spiritual depression in Nigeria. Spiritual depression. See, it's the first one. I will not leave Lagos empty-handed. Second one. The burial of Satan. Who wake the sleeping lion? Give me a spouse or I die. I don't know how to pronounce that word. Kill them or they kill you. Uncle, what did I do to you? Oh, what did I do? Oh Lord, it's the time for my settlement. See possibilities. And he reeled them all out. Out of the bribery or something like that. Then next one. That devil is a bastard. Okay, stop here. Okay, let's look at this a little bit. It's a very serious matter, my brother, my sister. That's why you must know about the true gospel. This is what we have these days. Bet Niger, for those who don't know, is a gambling institution in Nigeria. It's a gambling company. Bet Niger is a gambling company in Nigeria. So where does the favor of somebody's family come from? Indeed, any family, whether a Christian family or a non-Christian family, where does favor come from? Exodus 11:3 tells us that favor comes from the Lord. And Psalm 5, verse 12 tells us that favor comes from the Lord. So which is better, Bet Niger favor or favor from the Lord? So the leadership of this church, are they born again? And have they considered James 5:10? Let me read James 5:10. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and so on. Is it James 5:10? Yeah. 11. Behold, we count them happy. I think I've pushed the wrong this thing. All right. Anyway, the point here is that this following this kind of thing would lead you to spiritual depression. Spiritual depression means that you're not sensitive to things of God anymore. You're not sensitive to things of God anymore. And all the programs, and there are many, they're all causing spiritual depression. People do not, there's nothing towards God anymore in the whole, in Nigeria. Nigeria. As it is in Lagos, so it is everywhere. So what do we do? What do we do? First is, don't follow this kind of people. But you have to know what the true gospel is. And that's why you're here for this conference. And I beg you to truly ask all the questions. Ask all the questions. Things are difficult in our country. But inside the afflictions and difficulties, God has given us the gospel. And for us to preach the gospel. And therefore, I beg you, please put this off before people get... Thank you. So welcome to 2019 Lagos Bible Conference. May God help each and every one of us to learn from him and the speakers that have come. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for... You always send your word to recover your people, especially those of us who are very close to the precipice in this nation because of difficulties all around us. Lord, help us to truly focus on you. You know how difficult it is for us to understand the meaning of principalities and powers and how people are seeking for power and neglecting you. Oh, how we pray that you would indeed minister the power of your Spirit in every heart gathered here this time and would stay through the conference. Oh Lord, we pray for those who are in the habit of causing spiritual depression in our nation. Fetch them out, O Lord. Fetch them out and show them what they are doing. And Lord, may they fear, because a curse is following them. And it's a curse that you have pronounced following them. May they know this. And if there be any in this meeting, the Lord, we pray that repentance will be given to such a person. Blessed be thy name, our Father. Be with us, protect us. And as we fellowship with one another, Lord, we pray that we'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We just look to you to help us to understand even the simplicity in the gospel of Christ. And before we leave here, to be sure and make it our own, even the gospel of Christ, to be able to preach the gospel of Christ. That we'll be instruments in your hand to truly tell other people about the gospel of Christ. Blessed be thy name, our Father. Thank you, O Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.